Hello, 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 and welcome to What's the Chinese Tea? I'm Sammy. I'm your host for this podcast. I miss you guys. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you guys are staying safe. You're staying indoors. You're practicing this thing called social distancing. But I am here with another episode. I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode. Last week's episode, I kind of talked about the drama traveling during, you know, Mother Corona. And so this week's episode is going to be quite a critical episode. If you guys do not know that I am a political science undergraduate, as well as currently I'm back in school for my master's in international relations and diplomacy. So a lot of what I do and a lot of what I study is being critical of certain policies and certain historical events that have happened and analyze them and give the, you know, critique and give feedback. So this episode is going to be just that. It's going to be very critical. So I need all of my friends and family that are listening, any tea drinkers, I want you guys to put on your critical thinking hat. I want you guys to put in your analytical thinking hat. This is going to be that episode for that, where I'm going to analyze some things and I'm going to, you know, critique certain policies and the government and things like that. So if that makes you feel uncomfortable, I am so sorry. However, obviously you could tune into any of my previous episodes if you, that is not your forte. But so today's episode, I am going to compare and contrast how China has handled, you know, Mother Corona versus how the states handled Mother Corona. For those of you guys who are just new to my podcast, I am a foreign English teacher in China, but I am originally from the United States. So I am going to kind of compare and contrast some of what I've seen, because now I've seen both. I've been in both countries during this pandemic, so I think I'm knowledgeable enough to kind of see, you know, from a bird's eye view, kind of how things have been handled. So, if you guys want to tune into this episode, stay tuned, grab your teacup, and we will get the sipping. We'll be right back. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Chinese Tea. So, I told you guys this was going to be one of those episodes. It was going to be a compare and contrast episode about how COVID-19 was handled both in China and the United States. So, I drew a list of just kind of just so I can stay on track so I don't go rambling, because if it were up to me, this episode would be like an hour long, but we don't have an hour. So, I tried to condense it to some of the main points where I feel would be of interest to my listeners, to you guys, and just, you know, would be easier for, you know, other people who are not knowledgeable in this to kind of grasp what it is I am saying. So let's just get started. As most of you all know, you know, COVID-19 was originated in Wuhan, China. So By standard, you know, China was going to get hit first, okay? I think a lot of us, me included, when this whole thing, you know, kind of started, I don't think anyone understood the magnitude of how rapid it was going to spread, for one. Two, that it was going to not only spread throughout China, but now throughout the world. And claim, you know, so many lives. I think that when it was originally, it was because we didn't have all the facts, right? Oh, we didn't know, because the way it made it seem, and, you know, for, like I said, me living there at the time, it was seen like it was a filth kind of thing, rather than just a virus that's just kind of mutated and spiraled. And so when it originally started, you know, China knew what was going on. However, they didn't actually report it until a couple weeks later. At this point, mind you, I'm gonna, you know, shed some light. This is during Chinese New Year. For those of you guys who do not know or don't live in China, Chinese New Year is literally Christmas on crack. Like, it is one of the biggest holidays. Folks get, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks off. People travel either back to their hometown or people travel abroad. So it is a big deal. So a lot of the chaos that was surrounding this virus was that so many people had already left because it was holiday season. So there was no way to contain it at that instant. So once it was alerted, when I tell y'all, the Chinese folks literally got on it when they, like, a little too late. So that's one critique I have. I feel like had China nipped this in the bud, would we have seen this spiral? No, probably not. So with that being said, I would say China lacked in preparation. However, once they found out it was going to get out there and everything like that, they did the best to contain it by doing the following. When I tell you guys, this social distancing that's being practiced here is, like, no shade, it's a joke, okay? In China, ish shut down. Literally, from transportation, from stores, malls, airport. I mean, things were shut down. Like, it was nothing in, nothing leaving, nothing coming in. Literally. So I think that's one thing China did. It's like, literally, I experienced mandatory quarantine. That is what it was. For the first couple of weeks, it hadn't hit other cities yet, but it was just kind of like, be on alert. In the meantime, please practice precautions, i.e. wear a mask, i.e. wash your hands, all this other stuff. Once it was like starting to spread and spread fast, then it was, okay, we need all of our citizens and non-citizens, anyone in the country, we need you to stay home. That's literally what it was. Now, mind you, like I said, think back. We're Chinese New Year. A lot of Chinese citizens or non-citizens have already left the country. So already by default, there was a lot of things already closed because of the holiday. So that was the announcement. So it was, nobody can leave their houses. Nobody can. It was very restrictive at that point. The only time you could leave your house was for for essential items, i.e. food, water, that's it. Then, you know, apartment complexes started, and I'm speaking from my city. I cannot speak for, you know, Shanghai, Beijing, but most of our stories are relatively similar to where now we're on crowd control. We are watching who is coming in and who is coming out. So with that being said, my apartment complex then decided two or three entrances to get into my apartment complex. They shut both of them down and only made one entrance. Therefore, it's like we're monitoring foot traffic. Who is coming in? Who is coming out? Food delivery. In China, a lot of, just like here, food delivery, they come to your door, right? So now it became, no, we have to drop it off at the gate and you have to leave to come get your food. So that's what happened, right? So literally everything is on lockdown. There's no travel. There's just literally nothing. Taxis were very far and few between. It just wasn't going down. Contrast to when I came to the States, the lack of preparation there. There was at least a 6 to 8 week difference from the first case, or from when China got hit to when the first case came to the United States. There was about 6 to 8 weeks there. Unfortunately, I live in a country where and we're in with a president who knows his ass from his elbow. did not prepare like at all. Obviously, there were some measures put in place, but it was not to the level I expected from the United States. We all can say United States is a powerhouse in terms of countries, right? So whether you believe it or not, you know, economically speaking, that's just what it is. China and the States are powerhouses. So when I went through, you know, my travels coming here, while they were proactive, they were not as proactive as I would have thought they could have been. Like I said, there was at least 6 to 8 weeks. That's 2 months. That was plenty of time to prepare, you know, measures, you know, folks with work, you know, things with, you know, even this whole stimulus package. There was just a lot that could have been done, and instead it was not. So now we see the States having an even larger number of cases of the coronavirus versus China. So that's one aspect. The lack of preparation on both countries was a fail. The second one was it was a requirement to wear a mask in China. You could not get on the subway. You could not get in a taxi. You could not get into a store. You could not get in. You could not get anywhere without having a mask on. That was just, it was proper. It was protocol. It wasn't on, it's not fashionable. It's uncomfortable. No, literally, that was it. I come here to the States. I did some grocery shopping. I have brought some masks with me from China, and I have folks looking at me like I'm just bizarre. Yes, there is controversy with the N95 mask in terms of it's not protecting you from the, you know, it's protecting others from getting it, but you could still contract it, obviously, because viruses live on surfaces. So if the surface is not disinfected properly, you could still catch it. But hey, if I don't have to, you can still get it through if somebody coughs or sneezes and them droplets fly within your way. You have your mask. It still protects you from that. So it was definitely mandatory to wear a mask. As of a couple days ago, the CDC did recommend or did make it a requirement that, you know, people do wear masks. So hopefully we're going to start to see people wearing masks. So that was one contrast. The other contrast is panic buying. China's one of this, I think, the second largest country in the world. And I think for me, I thought for sure food was going to be literally scarce because there's just so many people, right? When it was really the complete opposite, I was able to get everything I needed all the time I needed to get it. Like, food was not scarce. The items that were scarce was hand sanitizer, gloves, and mask. Those were the things that ran out like hotcakes, you know? So contrasted to, I come to the States, like, literally everything is gone. Like, there is literally nothing. And it also depends on where you live in the States. I am currently in Indiana. I'm in a small town, and it still was like, it's just crazy. Like, there's literally nothing left on the shelves. Like, everyone is kind of just hoarding at this point. Even supplies you don't even think people would need. Like, I went to the store because we were making seafood and I needed to grab, you know, seasoning, and I needed to grab, like, oven bags. Oven bags is one of those items that forever stay on the shelf until, like, Thanksgiving or a big holiday is coming, because usually people will prepare turkey or stuff like that. So I'm thinking, no one's checking for oven bags. Y'all, all the oven bags are sold out. I'm just like, so I don't know if people are just buying to just buy, or people are buying because they actually need. Whereas in China, I didn't experience a food shortage. I didn't experience the toilet paper situation. I didn't experience, you know, paper towel. It was a pain in the butt to find hand sanitizer. I came with some in the States. I had enough, but I just wanted to have more, right? So hand sanitizer, I had Lysol wipes. So those are things, like, items I feel like, you know, I need it in terms of like just making sure I keep my house sanitized at all times, and was, you know, obviously gone. But like food wise, it was all there. And it was very surprising because, like I said, China is the second largest country in the world. So I would have thought that, you know, if anything, folks are going to panic buy. But that really wasn't the case. I didn't experience that. So panic buying, definitely a comparison I noticed. Another comparison that I did notice, Lord, I'm going to say this. One of the main reasons why I left the United States is because of the rat race and because of the constant bustle, bustle, bustle. And the lack of just everyone is out for themselves mindset. I don't like that. I didn't come up like that. I don't know if that's the Congolese in me. I'm not sure if that's just how my parents taught me. But here, we are exposing each other because we are selfish. We are selfish. We are not looking out for each other. Whereas I feel like in China, we all, in some weird way, we were looking out for each other. Like, there was a point my boss was willing to go, you know, go to the grocery store on my behalf so I didn't have to expose myself. There's a lot of teachers I could tell you that had that same gesture done. You give me the list of things you need, I will go to the store for you. And just like, if we have one less person on the outside, it's one less person that can potentially catch this thing, right? So I feel like in China, it was, we were looking out for each other. Like, there was no way you were, you like, there was parties going on. There was, no, it was like, literally, like, we want to get this over with. So how can we bond as a people to do what we need to do? And, you know, say what you want. I'm not here to critique, you know, democracy versus communism. I'm not here to do all that. But one of the strangely benefits of a communist country that I've experienced is that the loyalty to the government, right? Again, I'm not here to dispute all of that issue. I know some folks are going to come for me. That's not the point. I want you to listen. In a sense of, they're going to listen. And they understand that there's a bigger picture here. We want to get back to work. We want to get back to normal. We want to get back to just life. Right now, life is on standstill for everybody, right? So the Chinese mindset is like, hey, listen, what is it we have to do here to make this thing happen so we can move forward? They understand that there's a bigger picture here. Whereas the States, it's like, we're just thinking, my dad had this saying of, people don't think beyond their nose, right? So we think, we don't think that far. We're just thinking like, well, this is an inconvenience. No shit, Sherlock. Of course it's an inconvenience for everybody. You are not exempt here, okay? So instead of just thinking, let's look at this from a bigger standpoint. What do we all need to do as a people to, you know, to bond, to get over the hump, to flatten the curve, as the rhetoric is saying? No, folks still want to party. Folks still want to go to the bar. Folks still want to, it's like, huh? Yeah. So that was one major critique that had me like, oh no, that's different for me. Another critique that we just know is healthcare, the big elephant. Healthcare in America sucks, okay? I'm just going to be completely frank. Healthcare sucks here. You're paying an arm and a leg to get tested. At first it was, you know, $3,500 to get tested for this damn thing. And I'm just like, you do understand that there, like, the logic doesn't make any sense to me. People are losing jobs. So you mean to tell me, in order to be able to get tested for this thing is $3,500? Meanwhile, some people don't make $3,500 in a month, right? Premiums are out of control. It's just like, and then if, God forbid, you're unemployed, you're screwed. You know what I'm saying? So how can we try to help cure this thing or contain it or flatten it or whatever, and we're charging people. So this is how it looks like. It's a money ploy to some folks. For my conspiracy theorist folks out here, it's big pharma companies. We're gonna get some money out of this, right? That's what it looks like. Whereas China, healthcare is not the greatest thing unless you're at an international hospital. But the healthcare is not the greatest. However, it is accessible and it's affordable to everybody. Whether you're making very little or you're a baller, it's affordable for everybody. Therefore, people that are not making that much money can still go get tested. The testing was free, right? And even in Korea, to bring Korea in it, Korea decided they were going to do drive-through testing. They're, you know, so it limits exposure. So it's just like for America to be this so innovative country, it was like y'all are looking really bad right about now. If we're going to be completely honest, it's looking kind of rough, you know. So healthcare is no bueno. So it makes things quite difficult, you know. Then on top of that, with healthcare, you have, you know, jobs and businesses where you cannot take the time off if you're sick, because if you take the time off, you can't get that money back, you can't get that PTO or whatever. And guess what? You lost out on money. And therefore, you're thinking in your head, I'm coughing up a lung, I'm sneezing up the wazoo, but I still have to go into work because if I miss today, that's 50, 60 bucks that I'm missing. Therefore, I can't pay this bill. So how we're, like, because of that mindset, it's why people are still trying to figure out how they're going to make ends meet. You know, this is a very scary time for everyone. You know, mentally, financially, physically, it's a bad time for everybody. But at least in China, where it was, obviously, the cost of living was extremely low. So I was not getting paid, but I had enough to get me by, right? I was more stressing about other things, but that was not a stressor for me. And whereas this is real life for people. You know, even if this pandemic wasn't happening, how many people that live in the States, how many times have I heard people going to work sick because they can't afford to miss a shift? That's real life. I'm not making that up. That's real life. That's real life America right there. I can't afford to miss 2 days of work because I'm sick, because if I miss those 2 days, I'm going to be short $200, you know? So I feel like, you know, other countries are getting it right by protecting our people, you know, protecting their people. We have to think that the biggest kind of capital is human capital. If you don't have the people to be able to fulfill these jobs, you do not have an economy. That is just real facts, right? So that's obviously a whole nother episode. Maybe if you guys want to listen to me talk about economics and human capital, I'll do that. But that's another critique I have, or difference that I've seen. And social distancing. I don't even know where to start with this word. I'm going to say this. I hate the damn word, okay? Social distancing, I feel like this. I feel like the Western world likes to sugarcoat things. And social distancing made it seem like it was cool. It's cool. Social distancing. No. Y'all are doing it completely backwards. Social distancing is what you do after you have managed to flatten the curve, or you had managed to kind of contain this thing, right? That is what you will do next. This is currently what China is currently at now. Practicing social distancing. Practicing crowd control. There are certain places, even when we were still at the peak of it, certain places had crowd control. So if there was a certain amount of people, say in a grocery store, you could not enter until a couple people left to go under the number, and then they will let, you know, however many people left is how many people they can allow in. So now that they have kind of gotten over the hump and they're kind of starting to see the upside of things are starting to open back up, businesses are starting to open back up. And now, the states, I'm going to be very frank with you. Y'all have not even, like, I will say it has not gotten, it will get worse before it gets better. However, it will continue to get worse if you all do not listen and sit down somewhere. This is just real facts. Like, you cannot tell me, like, y'all still want to do this, 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 that. Y'all, you want to hop your butt everywhere. Sit down. Understand that in this culture, what I've noticed is everyone wants everything so quickly. And they're not willing to be patient. They're not willing to be still. You know, this is the time to exercise patience. Is it going to be annoying? Abso-freaking-lutely. Is it inconvenient? Abso-freaking-lutely. But there is a rainbow at the end of the tunnel. You just have to go through the mud right now. You have to go through the storm right now. So the social distancing thing, it's a load of baloney, okay? It's a load of crap. Social distancing is what you do after you have gotten your numbers down, after you have flattened the curve. Then you practice social distancing, you know, 6 feet between person to person, crowd control, only, you know, 10 people at a setting, you know, curfew hours, things will start closing at 8:30, whatever the time is. So these are the main critiques that I've noticed between each country that is just quite alarming. Like I said, I've currently been quarantined now twice. But this quarantine in the States is a joke. It's not mandatory because here in America, there's 50 states. So because the Republicans like to, and this is not to bash Republicans or Democrat either. So before you even hop up in here and try saying something, this is real facts. Republicans like the hands-off approach and allowing states to make decisions for themselves, to be autonomous from the central government. This is just facts, whether you want to hear it or not. Now, each state can then designate what they want to do with, in pertaining to their quarantine. Whereas in China, it's one thing and one thing only. It's the central government. When the central government says something, everybody follows suit. It's no like, okay, Shaanxi province, which is the province I was living in, is going to quarantine. Whereas Guangdong province, which is another province, is going to do something else. And then you have Sichuan province. They're going to do something else. And then Henan province is going to do something else. Hell no. It don't go down like that. If Beijing central government, that's the central government, if they say we are quarantining everybody, Shaanxi, Guangdong, Henan, Sichuan, Jiangsu, we're all doing it. There's no questions asked there. It's a team effort. It's a collective effort, you know. Whereas if Indiana's quarantined, Michigan might not quarantine. New York might not quarantine. Florida might not quarantine. So you see the disconnect there? Whereas if DC is our nation's, for my foreign listeners, DC is the central, is where the White House is, and that's where all the decisions are made. If DC said, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do, everybody should follow suit because we have to understand there is a bigger picture here, right? So I think those are some of the things that I have noticed. And, you know, everyone asks me because I've kind of seen this on China's side and on, when do you think, one question I get is, when do you think things will get back to normal? And I will have to say this, we are not going to get back to normal. We are going to have a new normal, hopefully a conscious normal, a normal where we look out for each other, a normal where, you know, health is more important. There will be a new normal. We cannot, after going through this, you shouldn't want to go back to normal. You should want to learn from this and move forward into a new normal. So hopefully that's the question I get. I can't say we will go back to normal. I feel like there will be a new normal, and everyone, once they accept that mantra that there will be a new normal, then we can move forward. But I would just have to say in conclusion that both countries obviously have their pros and their cons, and if I had to say who did a better job, hands down, I think China did a much better job in terms of containing it, being able to flatten the curve. Like I said, this thing popped up in January. We're now in April. You know, China's starting to see the upside now. You know, things are opening up. Things are, parks are back open. Stores are open. The only thing that hasn't been open yet are schools. And I think once schools get open, I think it's going to be pretty much a wrap. I know in some states here, I'm not sure if that's everywhere, schools are done for the remaining of the semester, which is probably plausible. And one thing I did notice, from what I heard, daycare in the States is still open and for business, which baffles me, because the most susceptible population are our babies. And so I would think that would be something that would have been completely shut down. But I understand why they're there, because people have to work. And that's what I'm saying. The rat race of America is why I left. Because it's like, if I miss this, I can't do this. If I do this, I can't do that. Like, it's just a lot going on. Whereas, you know, they offer work from home options for everybody. It was work from home and, you know, things like that. It's just like, I would think that our babies, because they are so susceptible to the virus and to anything else, if you have little ones, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that was one thing I found a little peculiar, was that the daycare centers are still open, which is, yeah. But like I said, I think in terms of who did better, I think obviously, hands down, I think China did a much better job. There are things that the States can learn from China. We have there's this pride that, you know, you're better than everybody. You can't learn from everybody. It's like, no, you can learn from what exactly did they do? And, you know, my mom even posted on her Facebook, what did China do in order to contain this thing? That was her question. And so our government should be asking, what did China do? Let's talk to China and see what we can do to be able to flatten this thing. So, you know, people can go back to work and people can, you know, provide for their families and pay rent and pay bills and, you know, whatever else. And so that's my conclusion. But I can't leave the episode without giving you guys a piece of wisdom, a piece of advice, some nuggets that I can give to you guys. Piece of advice is stay indoors as much as you can. If you have to absolutely leave, please wear a mask. Please wear proper PPE, which is protective equipment, i.e. a mask. If you have eye goggles, that's fine too. Please wear that. Please wash your hands after touching anything and everything. If you cannot get to a sink at that point, please carry hand sanitizer, preferably one with, I think, about 70 or 80% alcohol. I'm not sure the numbers. If I can find the numbers, I'll definitely let you guys know. Wear a mask, as well as, these are some just, you know, other tips that I've learned during this time is, if you're going to spread news, please make sure it's true and accurate information. There's so much information out there. We are on information overload. And so if you are going to share articles or share things that you've read or seen, please make sure it's from an accurate source. Please make sure that it is true before you go spreading it, because that also can make this thing a lot worse than it could be. As well as fight with facts and not fear. I know everyone is scared. I know everyone is unsure about the unknown and folks are uneasy. I understand that. But once you know the facts, you're able to kind of assess the facts for what they are, facts. But if you're fighting with fear, it's everything is true. Everything is this. And you know, you're going to send your mind into a spiral. So fight with facts and not fear. And look out for each other. You know, the more we can stay home, the better. Let's have the mindset of collectiveness, togetherness. And we're supposed to be the United States of America. Let's use the word united and really, you know, push through this thing. We can push through this thing. The concept is just like, we are in this together. Pray for each other. look out for each other, look out for your brother, look out for your neighbor. Just be kind to one another, be good to each other. And I know that has nothing to do with it, but it all in all, it has a lot to do with it. So, like I said, we're all going to get through this. It's just a dig in, a snag in the road. You know, let's look out for each other. Let's be better citizens of the world. Let's be better citizens in general. Like they say in French, and I'm going to say it, is on ensemble. We are together. Which is we are together. So you guys, please just stay safe. Stay indoors. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy this time as much as you can. Take care of your physical. Take care of your mental. And hopefully we can see the upside of this. So that is the end of this episode. This was a extremely long episode, but I hope you guys, if you guys have sticked with me through the entire episode, merci. Again, we will be back again next week with another episode. I hope you guys enjoy today. Until then, keep sipping some tea.